Hello and welcome to Living Money's Manifesto for Monday the 5th of July 2015. I'm Jeremy Deeds, financial life planner with over 25 years experience in financial services, author of Right Money, Right Place, Right Time, and founder of Living Money. So here's a fact. The China stock market has fallen 30% in the last few weeks, and the loss in value of this fall is 10 times the size of the Greek economy. And I'm not quite sure what that really signifies, but probably rather more than what most of my listeners would want to hear, I suspect. It is, however, indicative of the uncertainty in global markets and economies at the moment. We woke this morning to hear the news of the decision of the Greek people in their referendum. And this was going back to a form of government harping back to the Athenian city-state, or polis, of the 5th century BC. Athens invented democracy, as the Greeks never stop reminding us, and in those ancient times, they ran a system of direct democracy in which the people voted directly on laws and policy. And in returning to the direct democracy system in the 21st century, Greece has shown either remarkable perspicacity and a faith in a fundamental principle society, or totally underestimated the enemy they are up against and abrogated responsibility to self-interest and status. And at the moment, I, nor anyone else for that matter, I think, has a clue as to what will happen. But what is of real concern is the rhetoric coming out of Europe at the moment. One of the prime motivators for the foundation of the EU, you will recall, was to prevent ever again the disasters of the two world wars of the last century. And today we hear deep antagonism between North and South that goes far deeper than just setting out bargaining positions. When people start bandying around the names of Hitler and Mussolini, one starts to feel a little cold and hopes this is just a referendum fever which will die down in reasonably short order. And of course, the European and global institutions now find themselves in a real quandary. And it's not just the potential losses they could suffer through a Greek default, which in fact is not that big in the context of the size of the global economy. There are more pressing concerns. The first is the risk of contagion, that giving in to the Greeks will send the wrong signals to other distressed nations such as Italy, Portugal and Ireland. The second is geopolitical, with a Russian-inspired local war on the EU's eastern flank and deep instability inspired by religious fanaticism to the south. The last thing Europe really wants is the divided, crumbling EU. And the third is the whole issue of debt. The world is deeply indebted and seems unwilling to take action. Arguably, the only solution for Greece that keeps them in the EU is a massive debt forgiveness. And don't forget that Greece has already been forgiven 100 billion euros in two 50 billion euro haircuts a couple of years ago. However, that sends a very dangerous signal to sovereign states, businesses and families that debt is okay, and when you can't repay it, we'll just write it all off and you can start again. And so in this session, I want to address how we as individuals and families can deal with what is fast becoming a very messy situation. But before I do so, though, I want to take my usual and brief tour of the region, starting off with the United States. And the United States has pulled back from its geopolitical economic leadership of last year, hit by another terrible winter, a strong dollar, and the threat of rising interest rates. As US dollar has strengthened, and conversely, the yen and euro have been deliberately weakened, US exports have dropped, as have factory orders. Job growth is now flat, as is earnings growth, and inflation is still at bay. The housing market continues to strengthen, probably fueled by last year's economic strength. The housing market always has a long lead time, so it's not difficult to see where the housing market will head next year. In the stock markets, as earning growth stumbles, valuations now look a little overstretched, and a period of consolidation in the US equity market is not out of the question. Over in Europe, well, Europe ex-Greece is actually beginning to look quite attractive. Quantitative easing is now firmly in place, the euro has devalued, and falling oil prices have also helped the European economy. Inflation is beginning to re-emerge already, which is a good thing in this case. Quantitative easing in Europe is going to drive investors up the risk curve in search of yield, as happened in the US and is beginning to happen now in Japan. Quantitative easing will be good for European equities in the medium term. In the UK, the rising pound reflects outperformance and is now having an impact on exports, as in the case of the US. Unfortunately, all our weapons have been used up and there is little the UK authorities can now do to weaken the pound. Indeed, this is one of the key reasons the authorities in the UK, and the US for that matter, are desperate to return to rising interest rates and a return to normality so they can have the tools at hand to deal with the next financial crisis. And there are always financial crises that need to be dealt with. We can expect UK interest rates to rise next year and probably reach a modest 2.5% by 2020. And also, of course, keep an eye out for Osborne's budget on Wednesday, which has to be radical if he does not want to lose the opportunity afforded to him by his election win to regain global economic leadership and social stability. The Far East also looks good, except for China. The 30% falls we've been hearing about, by the way, apply to China's domestic share classes and not the international share classes which overseas investors buy. China's falls are a direct result of the collapse of a government-induced bubble based on overborrowing again and retail investor activity. Japan has had a good year so far, and the authorities' attempts to turn around the economy seem to be working. Heading across to the fixed interest market, bond markets are now under severe pressure from European quantitative easing. They have the potential to lose capital as yields enter negative territory, and this will be compounded as inflation re-emerges in Europe and also around the rest of the world. Bonds still perform a key role in the asset allocation mix, and they are important. But it's also important to select short-duration bonds, preferably in an AAA market if you can find one left anywhere, and select bond funds with large amounts of cash, take advantage of opportunities as they arise. Oil is also, of course, a key issue at the moment. The oil price has recovered from its $40 low. However, the supply and demand equation is difficult to read and volatile, with US shale oil maintaining downward pressure, but also increasing demand as the price falls, which then puts upward pressure on the oil price. I think we can expect oil to trade in the 50 to 75 US dollar range for a while. Before I wind up, let's have a look at the markets in the first half of 2015, January to June. They're generally positive, but the figures hide quite significant volatility. Japan is up 16%, the Far East is up 4%, Europe is up 11%. UK makes interesting reading. The FTSE 250, which is a better indicator of the UK economy as a whole, is up 10%, whilst the UK FTSE 100, which tends to reflect more miners and banks, is unchanged in the first half of the year. The US is up just 1%. Oil is up 13% at $59.5 a barrel. And gold is down 1% at $1,171 an ounce. So what's the bottom line? My friend Justin Urquhart Stewart has a saying, don't plan to invest, invest in planning. His views, as are mine, is that pushing money into the market higgledy-piggledy has limited value and is often downright dangerous. This is particularly so today. I've always recommended a minimum 7-year investment time horizon for equities, and I'm now inclined to push that out to 10 years. In other words, if you invest in equity or risk assets today, ensure you don't need to draw on them within the next 10 years. It's notable that big players in retail financial services such as 7IM and Invesco Perpetual are transmitting a similar message. If that's the case, you need to work out first how you're going to fund your lifestyle if you think you will need to draw on your savings within 10 years. I've written about this in my book in depth and would recommend you read it. However, the answer is asset allocation, in short. It's asset allocation that drives portfolio performance, not stock pricing or market timing. Specifically, you need to allocate sufficient funds to low-risk assets if you think you will need to draw on them within 10 years. Another principle is that you can only plan for those things you can control. You and I cannot control what is going to happen in Greece or China or the US or the UK. We can control a range of personal financial factors such as asset allocation, the amount of debt we carry, our spending and our savings rate. And indeed, for those in the early parts of their lives in the accumulation mode, stock market volatility is a blessing, allowing you to take advantage of lower stock prices and lower valuations as they turn up. Ultimately, holding cash and bonds won't keep you in comfort in your old age. Only risk assets with the capacity for real growth will do that. You cannot afford not to be in equities as long as you have the short term sorted out. That takes planning. And if you're going to plan, you need to plan where you're going. So in organizing your finances in volatile and uncertain times, follow the goals, plan, products sequence. Work out your goals first, put in a plan to achieve those goals, then buy the products to meet the needs of your plan. Before I go, a quick word about Living Money. Living Money coaches busy families in personal finance. We are not authorized to provide financial advice, and we do not recommend financial products. Instead, we aim to provide you with the tools and skills to buy the financial products that will best serve your life and money. Well, that's it for me. Thank you very much for listening. Have a very good week and a very good month. Take care and go well.